Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're talking about the biggest welterweight fight this year, maybe of all time. Who knows, man? Spence versus Crawford apparently is very close to being done. We'll give you all the details, and we'll run it down later. First, we're going to get started with DAZN pay-per-view, Triple G versus Canelo for the third time. And, you know, just like I predicted, Canelo Alvarez beats Triple G easily by unanimous decision, 116-112, 115-113 twice. Listen, I had the fight scored 117-111 for Canelo. It was an easy fight to score. I'm not sure what the judges were really watching here. Think about this, though. If Triple G won another round last night, that fight's a draw. That's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. Triple G looked every bit of 40 last night. He was having trouble getting off shots. He was having trouble avoiding shots. Canelo looked good. He had a good defense, was throwing harder punches all night long. The fight went exactly like I expected, exactly like I've been telling you guys. I told you it was a mismatch, and it's a mismatch. I thought Canelo would knock him out, but hey, man, to Triple G's credit, when he came in there, he had a look on his face, man. He was prepared to go the distance, but not much else. And not only that, you know, as this fight went on, you could see Triple G in survival mode right around the fifth round. He's completely going backwards. He's not trying to engage. He may throw a shot just to try to keep Canelo off him for a little bit. Nah. He was completely in survival mode for a good portion of that fight. I had it, like I said, 117-111, gave him 9-10, and gave him round one. Round one really could have went either way. Round one probably should have went the other way. But, hey, it is what it is. Beeb, this fight was not all it was cracked up to be. I don't know why on earth they had this third fight. I was real vocal about that. You know as well as I do, I'm always right. So please, go ahead and give me your breakdown on this.
I expected more from Golovkin. I just thought, you know, you put these two guys together, it's going to always make for a great fight. It wasn't a horrible fight yesterday, but it wasn't a great fight. It was not as good as I thought it would be, right? I had high expectations for the fight. Originally, when it was announced, I was pretty much on board with you. But then again, you know, I listen to the press conferences. I hear both fighters going at each other. As it nears, then my anticipation starts to grow. And you know how I am with these pay-per-views. I got to buy them all. And I bought this one.
I was excited, too. At the weigh-in, I was excited, too. I got to be honest.
I'm sitting on my couch listening to all 17 national anthems, and I'm getting goosebumps, man. I'm getting goosebumps. So I expected more from the fight. I didn't hate the fight, but it was very one-sided. It was very one-sided. And I think Golovkin got to a point where he wanted to time Canelo. He wanted to counterpunch a little bit. He wanted to box. He wanted to try and pick and choose his shots. He wanted to fight a cerebral fight. He wanted it to be a chess match. That was the mentality, I believe, going in.
Yeah.
He thought he could outbox Canelo, but he just couldn't time him. And credit to Canelo, one thing that he pulled out of the old quiver, one of the arrows he pulled out of the old quiver, was the jab, which was a weapon of his that has been absent these last couple of fights. Go ahead. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah. Who on earth in his corner thought he was going to be able to outbox Canelo at 40. At 40, son.
Yeah.
His best shot was try to make this a street fight, try to get in there, and hope to land one of those big shots. He's not going to outbox Canelo at 40. Are you kidding me?
In rounds 9, 10, and 11, he kind of went for broke. And I thought he did
that was
better in
the best portion of the fight right there.
He tried to get close and tried to, throw some body shots, try to mix things up a little bit, change the look, become more aggressive. But, Canelo adapted, and I thought he won round 12 very decisively and clearly. So I thought Canelo fought a good fight. You would have thought that because the fight was so one-sided, because it was going his way, because he was able to land that jab at will and he was able to set up those shots at will, you would have thought that he probably could have got Golovkin out of there. The way the fight was going, the way it looked, it looked like Triple G was getting tired. He was slowing down, and he was there for the taking.
Yeah.
But credit to him, he bit down on his mouthpiece, and he refused to go away quietly. So you got to give him credit for hanging in there. Like I said, I think he went for broke in rounds 9, 10, and 11, and then he ran out of gas after that. And then Canelo just did what he had to do. So overall, people will criticize Canelo. They will say, oh, well, he doesn't know how to finish these fights strong, whatever the case may be. He won the fight 9-3.
At the very least, he won it 9-3. I can't even – it's hard for me to make a case for a 6-4. There's no way I can make a case for 7-5. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
I gave Golovkin rounds 9, 10, and 11. And could I have given him round 1? Yeah. So it could have been 116 and 112, but – The most people that I've talked to had it 9-3. That's the general consensus out there, that this was a 9-3 type fight. Some people even had it 10-2. So I had it 117 and 111, and I've always scored against Canelo in these Triple G fights, and for me to have a wide card.
Right.
I'm always the guy who's not always favorable to Canelo in terms of scoring his fights, but he did – I did some things I liked. I liked that, in the first round, he came up bombs away and he was loading up and throwing one shot at a time. And I said, oh no, not another one of these type fights. Right. And Triple G was gauging his distance. He got, his jab was pretty good. He kept Canelo at an arm's length, and he was fending him off for the most part, but Canelo was still coming forward, being the aggressor and, still pushing him back ever so slightly, not forcing him back the ropes or anything like that. But you could see that Triple G had to fight Canelo off him, right? So you could argue that Canelo was the effective aggressor, right? Or you could you could look at it both ways in that round. But after that, Canelo started to settle down, started to pick and choose his spots a little bit better. Used his jab a lot more than he has in recent fights, and that was the one thing that I have to give Canelo credit for in this fight, that he was really using his jab. He was really trying to set up the shots, and he was shooting his right hand really, really, really well too. And he was throwing his right hand in a variety of ways, because Golovkin likes to air him up a little bit, and he was looping it. He was throwing it straight. He was throwing a variety of punches, and he was actually throwing combinations in this fight. Wasn't looking to bomb Golovkin out with one shot like he was trying to do with Biffle. So gotta give credit there. Obviously,
Biffle's
a different kettle of fish, but at least he went into this fight, because I was a little concerned that, he would go into this fight trying to be bombs away. And that's why I thought that this fight would be more competitive, because if he's just going to go in there and bombs away, I thought he would underestimate Golovkin. And I don't think he did. I don't think he did either.
I think he knew what he was getting into, and he knew doesn't matter if this guy's 40 or whatever the case may be, he's going to be in there. Yeah. And he took it seriously. He did not underestimate him at all.
And, much has been mentioned about, is Canelo ripe for the taking right now? Is he slowed down? Well, again, he's had issues with his knee. He's having issues with his wrist, that little cartilage here. I guess he tore it or whatever, and there's, some particles floating around in there. So he needs to get a debridement, get a clean out, get a scope in that wrist. Very minor, left-handed actually it was. Very minor surgery. Go in there, you clean out the wrist, and you know, you, like it was mentioned, 6 to 8 weeks, possibly 12, whatever. He'll more than likely be able to go in May if he chooses to do so next year, right? But you know, again, you know, he's been a pro since he's 15 years old. He's got a lot of fights in there, and he's been fighting a lot. Give him credit for being as active as he's been these last couple of years, because no other fighter really has been as active as him, right? So you got to give him credit for that. Competition's been solid. There's some guys, obviously, that we want him to fight, but you can't fight everyone, and you can't fight everyone when people want you to fight them. So, but I would love to see the Benavidez fight come off. If you know, he's got one more fight with his own. I think it's going to be John Ryder. I don't think it's going to be the Bivol fight, in my opinion. I think he's going to fight John Ryder in the UK. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I don't think he's going to fight Bivol. That's just my opinion.
I don't think he's going to fight Bivol either, because I don't think Bivol's getting past Zierdo.
We both don't think he's getting past Ramirez.
Right, and so if Bivol loses, there's no reason for that fight.
Sure. He's probably going to fight John Ryder in the UK, because they've always said, Eddie Hearn's always said it, he's always said it, you know, they want to fight in the UK, and they'd love to have a big fight, a big stadium fight in the UK. So that's what I think is going to happen. Again,
that's
I could be wrong.
Awful fight. That's just an awful fight.
Yeah, it's just my opinion.
He said, like I said, man, he wants to fight the – he's going to see how the – Canelo said he wants to see how the Bivol fight plays out, and then they'll kind of go from there. But he needs to, work on his wrist or whatever. You said his hand injury. Now, you said before we came on that it's just like a – it shouldn't be that major of a thing.
No, it's not. It's not that bad at all.
Yeah.
It's a little scope. I've had a similar surgery on both my knees. And I was out of work for a week. I was back to work in a week.
Yeah.
I felt my normal self in 3 weeks, to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay, cool.
Now, let me ask your opinion on this real quick. What was your – I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the post-fight press conference when he was asked about David Benavidez? Everyone was asking him about David Benavidez.
No, I didn't see this.
Finally, he's like getting upset. He goes, I'm tired. I don't want to talk about this anymore, and he gets up and leaves. He's like visibly upset because people are asking him about David Benavidez. Is it wrong for us to want him to fight David Benavidez?
No.
Is it?
No. I want to see him fight. I don't want to see him fight John Ryder. Now, let me preface this. Canelo doesn't duck anybody. You cannot nobody can say Canelo's ducked anybody. His resume is too good, and he fights guys in their prime. He's not like Floyd where he waits for something to happen or, you know, a bump in the road and then he takes that fight. No, he fights guys in their prime, man. So, you know, props to Canelo. He fought kind of well. Yeah, he was after the prime. You're right. He was after his prime. But I thought Golovkin won that first fight, and I thought he won it convincingly. So
that's fair.
And they were talking about when they were talking about this fight, they were talking about Triple G and everything. I'm like, this is 4 years ago, guys. This was four years ago. It makes no sense.
And then there's the whole statement he made about not wanting to fight Mexicans, and then he answered it like this. Well, he said, does it mean I'm never going to fight a Mexican fighter? He's like, I wouldn't like to fight a Mexican fighter. Okay, I get it, but the way when it was first said, it kind of came off as being, you know, sounded like he was implying that he just didn't want to fight Mexican fighters.
Well, I guess because of his countrymen or whatever, but if anything, it makes no sense because you fight them and you're doing them a favor because you're giving them a huge payday.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's what I remember Mike Tyson said that. He said the best thing you could do if you're friends is fight because it gives the other guy a payday, you know?
Sure. And then I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think Sugar Ray Robinson fought Henry Armstrong when Henry Armstrong was on the way out. And he did it because he wanted to give Henry Armstrong a payday. This is way back in the 50s. So fighters used to do each other solids back. Same thing with Rocky Marciano. He really didn't want to fight Joe Louis, but he knew Joe Louis needed the payday. So he fought him so he can get the payday.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad that he had to hurt him or whatever, but he gave him the payday. So that's a great point. That's a great point you just made. So, you know, you're trying to help your fellow countrymen out by giving them a payday. Why would you not want him to get a payday? But, you know, It is what it is, bro. I mean,
you know, as far as Canelo goes in his next fight, yeah, I'm not down with the John Ryder fight at all. I think that's awful. I think it's as bad as this one.
He's got one fight left with DAZN. Who else is he going to fight over there?
Yeah.
Rematch Danny Jacobs? Right. I mean, there's no one else over there he could fight.
Yeah.
If he doesn't fight Bivol next, who else can he fight?
Now,
there's only one guy.
Triple G said that he is still going to fight. He's going to go back down and defend his middleweight belts or whatever. You know, I'd like to see Canelo fight Charlo. I'd like to see him fight Benavidez. You know, I think 175, honestly, I think 175 is a little out of his range. I really do. When he fought Kovalev was not in the best, you know what I mean? Kovalev was on the skid at that point. Kovalev's still on the skid, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like a great win. It was impressive because Kovalev was beating him and he had to come back in that fight. But Bivol handled him pretty easily. I mean, that was a pretty easy fight for Bivol. So, you know.
Well, he's claiming that he hurt the wrist in the Caleb Plant fight. So he may not have been 100% in the Bivol fight. Who knows? But, again, would it have mattered? I don't think so. A lot of people probably would agree with me that it wouldn't have mattered one way or the other. But,
yeah, wouldn't have mattered.
But, you know, I don't think he beats Bivol. I don't think he beats Zerto. I don't think he beats those guys at 175.
Yeah.
And I think he is slowing down.
Too big.
I think he is slowing down. Like I said, he's been fighting since he's 15 years old. He's had a long career. A
lot of miles on him.
A lot of miles, and he's been very active. And maybe he'll take a break. Maybe he won't even fight in May. Maybe he'll wait to fight. Wait, maybe he'll fight one time next year, take May off and fight in September. Who knows what's going to happen? But he looked very tired last night. He expressed as much that he was tired. He said, "I'm tired. I don't want to answer no more questions." And he got up and he walked out. He's getting tired of hearing the Benavidez question.
I don't know why he won't fight Benavidez. I really don't know why that's such a big sticking point for him. But the fights I want to see is Benavidez and Charlo. I think everybody wants to see those fights because those are good fights.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you favor Canelo in both of them, maybe you don't, but those are good fights.
I think Canelo beats Charlo. I don't think he beats Benavidez right now.
Benavidez is good, man. He's so good.
Benavidez is good.
So good.
Benavidez is good.
What do you think is next for Triple G? Because there's a lot of people asking, you know, what's next for Triple G, you know?
I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. It's going to be so fucking crazy. So that was his last fight with DAZN.
Okay.
All right. I think he had some type of agreement with Eddie Hearn, too, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody in the chat. But I know that's his last fight with DAZN. He's going over to the PBC. And he's going to fight all those guys. He's going to fight Charlo. So I wouldn't be surprised if he fights
Dave. That's a good move.
I wouldn't be surprised if he fights David Benavidez. I would hate to see that happen because I think David Benavidez would
destroy him. Yeah.
I think it would piece him up pretty bad.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he matches up pretty good against Charlo. I think call me crazy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing him unify against Charlo. That's what I think is going to happen.
I think Charlo beats him, man. I really do. I think Triple G's washed. I really do. I think he's washed.
Me, maybe.
But
he looked kind of soft last night. Like he had the dad bod last night, right?
Yeah, he looked pretty good at the weigh-in, though. So I don't know. I mean, I thought he looked pretty good at the weigh-in.
My brother never really watches boxing that much, but he looked at him and he said, "Yeah. How old is this guy?" I said, "He's about 40. He goes, "Yeah, he looks it."
He does. He did. That's the one thing I did notice last night. When he walked in, he looked every bit of his age last night.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So, Robert, people are asking me if Robert's called in. Robert hasn't called in yet. So, I'm getting ready to watch a fight last night, B. I'm getting ready to watch a fight. Paid all this money for it. First bell is about to ring. I mean, they just get done with the, you know, the 15,000 national anthems they had, which I can't stand, by the way, and I don't like it, but whatever, you know. So we finally get to the fight. First bell rings, my phone rings. I'm like, what in the world? I look down, it's Robbie. He's going to voicemail, son. I'm not answering that phone, not during a fight. Are you kidding me? So he goes to a fight, or he goes to voicemail. I'm watching the fight. I listen to his voicemail, and he's like, Well, I just want to let you know that power went out over here. What do I care? You're on the other side of the planet. What do I care? I don't care. Power went out.
Who gives a fuck?
Right, yeah. Call me when you take a pee, too. I mean, like, seriously, what do I care if power went out at your house?
Eric, I just want to call you, let you know we're out of milk.
Who gives a
fuck? Get out of here.
I'm like, what? I'm like, get out of here. What do I care? He's like, well, I just won't be able to talk. Well, so what? I'm watching the fight. I don't care. I don't want to take any calls during the fight. The only person I text is you during the fight.
That's right.
It's insane. Right. Chauncey Pearls, thank you so much, brother. He said, I don't know if it was nerves, an injury, or Gonzalez was just better. I thought it was supposed to be Bam's big moment, and I don't think he looked very impressive. What are your thoughts, fellas? All right, well, let's talk about that. Because that was the other fight on there. Eric, I ran out of pistachios.
he texted me too. He goes, this is a text message he gave me. Joe, I just text Eric. I will call into the show once I'm able to see all the fights last night. Our internet went out while I was trying to watch the GGG fight card. So I'm watching them all over again today. Hopefully there's no internet issues. We had a major thunder and lightning storm yesterday and rain, and it messed up everybody's internet.
Who cares?
All you had to do was go back and watch the main event. You know, that would have taken you 40 minutes. It would have taken you fucking 46 minutes, excuse me. Right? Next time he calls in, he's getting fucking roasted. that kid's getting flambéed next time he calls in. But go ahead, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just had to throw that in there.
Well, Chauncey wants to hear about the Bam Rodriguez fight. Bam Rodriguez wins a very tough unanimous decision over Israel Gonzalez, 118-109, 117-110, and 114-113. This was definitely not a walk in the park for Bam, man. This was a very tough fight. It was a close fight. I think Bam won, but I think it was closer. I think these probably should have been the scores for the Triple G fight. Yeah, it was closer to 118-109. I think he was – I mean, it could have been 7-5. It was – that guy he fought last night was really good. He was really good, man. And, you know, Chauncey brought up a great point. He says this is supposed to be Bam's coming out party and this and that. And you know what? He's right, because he's on this pay-per-view. He's co-headlining this pay-per-view, a Canelo Alvarez pay, so you know people are going to be watching, you know. And didn't show out all that great. You know, he really didn't. He didn't really show out all that great. I thought he won the fight, though. I thought he did win, and I was really impressed that he dug down. But he's been fighting a lot lately. You know, he's been pretty active.
Yeah, they mentioned during the broadcast, I think it was Chris Mannix that said something, that he was talking to Robert Garcia, and Bam really didn't want to fight. Like, because he was so active, he's like, you know, I kind of don't want to fight so soon after my last fight. And then Garcia said to him, well, you can't pass up an opportunity. Like, this, you're going to be on the biggest card of the year. You're co-main eventing. Why would you pass this up? So maybe, like you said, he could have been a little burnt out. Maybe
I think that might have been it. But the other part was, I don't want to take too much credit away from Israel, man, because he fought a great fight. He's a very good fighter, man. Yeah, Jesse says that Y12 scored at 115. Go ahead and talk to me about what you were talking about before the show here.
Yeah, I was just talking to Eric. This, again, no disrespect to my man Steve Weisfeld, because he may be listening, and I like the guy, but I got to say, I haven't agreed with a lot of his recent scorecards. He scored Bivol Canelo 115 and 113. Again, it's not impossible to do that, but it's improbable, in my opinion. This fight last night, you'd be hard-pressed to even give Golovkin four rounds. I don't think it's impossible to give Golovkin four rounds. You could give him maybe 9, 10.
It's impossible to give him 5 rounds.
It's damn near impossible to give him 5.
Yeah.
So I think if you give him 4, you're stretching it, right? But, I gave him 3. Most people I talked to gave him 3. So, yeah. I have not been in agreement with Mr. Weisfeld recently in some of these fights, so I'll just leave it at that. I'll try to be as respectful as possible.
Wow, that's kind of rough, dude. All right, D-Style, thank you so much, brother. He says Robert's game plan was too much inside fighting. He easily controlled Israel from the mid-range and jab. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go along with that. Centurion Sun said, Eric, you and Robbie have to eat a half a pie because Triple G, you said Triple G would get KO'd. I'm okay with that punishment. Yeah, I would eat a half a pie. No problem with that. No problems at all. Yeah, I really did think he was going to get knocked out. I really did.
Most people did.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get knocked out, man. But it didn't work out that way. Gabe Rosado versus Ali Akhmedov. Akhmedov beats Rosado by the scores of 190 on all three cards. He got dominated in this fight every possible way, man. Rosado just did not look good here, man. And a lot of people are calling for Triple G to hang it up and everything like that. Listen, man, Rosado, I wouldn't mind if he found something else to do, man.
I like Robbie.
He needs to find something else to do. He can go work at the car wash or something like that. But, I mean, he's had a good career. You really can't complain. I mean, he's had a really good career. But, yeah, he's got to go, man. He's got to go. Triple G's got to go too or no? I think there's still money out there for Triple G.
You know what the problem is? And here's the thing. It was amazing because, like, people were saying, like, oh, it was so nice that Triple G and Golovkin, they buried the hatchet, they hugged it out, whatever. But at the end of the day, when Canelo looked at him and he said, thank you so much, he's giving him three of his highest paydays in his career.
Highest
like,
paydays.
By a mile. So how can you still be mad at a guy that gave you, like, I'm not saying he gave it to him, but they both together
well,
generated.
Sure. Like, how can you be mad at that, you know?
After a while, you look at the money. But like I said, Golovkin could go over to the PBC, get a three-fight deal, and I could see him fighting Charlo, David Benavidez, and maybe somebody like an Andre Durrell or something like that. I could see that happening, you know what I mean? So there's so much money out there left for Golovkin. It's going to be hard for him to just walk away and leave that money on the table. Can he do it and still live comfortable? Does he need the money? Probably not, but everyone likes money. I like money. I don't need my honey dips, but I still want them. Still like them, right? I don't pass them up.
That's
right.
I don't
need them, but I want them.
That's right.
Right?
He's talking sense now. Talking sense to you people. Yeah, but I think Rosado's got to go. Triple G, I think, has got to go, but I think he's got some fights left in him.
You know,
I'd like
you
to
know
see him retire,
sad.
But yeah.
You know, the sad thing is, and I love Gabe, but I'm watching him being interviewed, and they're looking at, like, you can see his face. He's got so much fucking scar tissue over his fucking eyes, man. Like, he looked like he's been through fucking hell and back. Like, his face basically tells a million fucking stories, man. Like,
yeah.
The wars he's been. Got fucking scar tissue all over his fucking eyes and shit. Like, dude, one of these days your face is just going to fall off. You've been fucking cut so many fucking times. Like, how much longer do you want to keep going on? But once again, he keeps getting these phone calls. He's on a big card yesterday, too.
You know, I mean, as long as they're going to give him money and he's going to be on these big cards, yeah, I mean.
Who am I to tell people what to do? I mean, if the money's there, the money's there. It's hard to turn it up.
Yeah.
It's hard to turn the money down. So,
whatchamacallit? Somebody asked if Gabe Rosado is related to the Raging Babe. I don't think he is.
He's not. I asked her. She said no.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
No.
I always get her and that other cupcake mixed up. Her and what's her face? The one who's doing OnlyFans or whatever.
Don't do that.
What?
Fucking Michelle Joy Phelps. Come on.
That thirsty chick.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she's up there. I don't know. I don't really care for either one of them. But, hey, who am I?
Holy man. Jesus Christ, man. I want to buy my parents a house.
That's just like, one step away from being an escort, son.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, that is, it's, again, people are going to hate me saying this, and I'm going to say it, and I may get canceled, but it's a form of prostitution.
Oh, that's gone too far, babe. That's gone way too far. That's gone too far.
Can I leave it on the table or are I going to take it off?
Take it off the table. I can't. You know, I'm about having fun like anybody else, but that's just way too far. Just way too far. Tale from Chai Tussin, Raging Babe, friend of the show.
I've interviewed her on this show. I've interviewed him on the Box of Whites.
She acted like it was a big deal. She acted like she was doing us a favor. We were trying to promote her card. I actually called her and said, hey, do you want me to promote this card? Because, you know, nobody was going to it, you know. And I'm like, you know, do you want to come on? And, you know, yeah, I guess, you know, if I have, but I only have a few minutes. And don't let me twist your arm, sweetie. You know, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
All right.
Kinda cute.
Huh?
She's kind of cute. I like her.
Why? You can sit and tell me how pretty the blonde bomber is wearing those friggin'
bikinis. She is. She's 1 step. Did you see her on Twitter? She's like 1 step away from doing porn, man. She's hanging out with porn chicks now and everything, man.
She's going to – If I had a crystal ball, I think she's going to be on OnlyFans when she retires.
She's hot.
She may go on OnlyFans.
But she's got a big career in front of her boxing. I mean
– Yeah.
She's not going to hold on.
I don't think she's going to hold on to that title long, to be honest.
You don't think?
Yeah.
Must be tough being a super genius over there.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
September 23rd, ESPN Plus. Shakur Stevenson versus Robson Consacao, 12 rounds for Stevenson's WBC and WBO junior lightweight titles. Co-main, Keyshawn Davis versus Omar Tienda, 8 rounds lightweights. And I'm trying to think, trying to see if there's anybody else of note on there. It doesn't look like it. So that's going to be in Newark on ESPN Plus September 23rd. September 24th on ESPN Plus, Joe Joyce versus Joseph Parker, 12 rounds heavyweights. Amanda Serrano versus Sarah Macfood, 10 rounds for Serrano's WBC and WBO women's featherweight titles and Macfood's IBF women's featherweight. Who cares? Let's see here. Yeah, and that's about it on that card. September 24th from Nottingham, and no TV on this one. Hannah Rankin versus Terry Harper, again, who cares? Kid Galahad versus Maxie Hughes on the undercard as well.
I like the Hannah Rankin fight.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, her face. It's like you just did a fucking, like you just swallowed a fucking bitter pickle or something.
Oh my gosh.
That's
yeah.
Hilarious.
Give me a break, man. Great baby fears. Hello, Graham. It's stupid.
What you do to these people, man? You wind these people up.
Tommy Boxell saying the same thing. Tommy Boxell saying the same thing as me.
That's right.
It's just a lead in, man. It's just a lead in, man.
We're a bunch of red pill guys over here.
Red pill guys. We're not over here.
Yeah, we're not down with the feminist movement, man. Don't make us a fucking sandwich.
Dudes paying for OnlyFans are simps. All right. Well. All right.
You know, tell that to Robbie when he calls in. Make sure you mention that to him.
You think he would get Ebony Bridges on OnlyFans? You think he would pay for her?
100%, man. Kidding me? You don't think so?
I don't think he would.
I'd love to see his fucking credit card statement at the end of every
Brazzers.
Platinum membership at fucking X videos.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Platinum membership is pretty good.
Man.
Pretty good. It's actually pretty good. You get a bunch of websites with it and everything. It's nice.
That's right.
All right. News and rumors. Bede. Joshua and Tyson Fury. Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury getting closer. December 3rd looks like the date. This may be the easiest fight I've ever seen in history get made. Apparently, everything has been agreed upon in principle and material in this fight. So, Babe, we might have this fight going off December 3rd.
I thought this was the biggest sham of the year, right? I thought this was a clout chase by Tyson Fury. Everything that's being thrown at Anthony, like it seems like they're going out of their way to try to make it almost impossible for Anthony Joshua to take this fight, but he's calling every single bluff. First, he wanted December 17th. No, either November 26th or December 3rd. No. Okay, we'll take December 3rd. Oh, it's got to be 60-40 or nothing. Thinking that AJ is going to ask for 50-50 like he asked for 50-50 when AJ first offered him the fight before he was champion. AJ, okay, we'll do 60-40. So, I mean, broadcast today. Oh, we'll work that out. So everything that's been thrown at Anthony Joshua and his team, they're saying yes to. And I give Anthony Joshua a ton of credit for taking this fight now.
He didn't have to take the fight now. And he could have they could have got an easy touch for him. You know, Hearn would have got him an easy touch. He would have got him a John Ryder. No. He said, hey, let me fight this guy.
And you know he's getting paid no matter who he fights.
Oh,
if he
yeah.
fights that guy, Dilly Zhang, or if he fights Dillian White in a rematch, he's getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's not like, he's going to take this fight now. No, he really doesn't. Who doesn't have to take this fight now? If the shoe was on the other foot, I don't think Tyson Fury would be taking this fight if he was in Joshua's position right now. I don't think many people. Look who Deontay Wilder's fighting. No disrespect to Robert Delaney. He's a solid opponent.
Solid fighter, but he's not a killer.
He's not jumping right back into the frying pan like Anthony Joshua is. Think about this. You're fighting the best two fighters in the division back-to-back. After fighting the arguably one of the number two, or some people think he's number one in Usyk. Back-to-back.
Back-to-back. He's fighting the best heavyweights out there. I've always said Anthony Joshua has the best resume of any of the champions out there. He fights everybody.
Never, fights all his mandatories, never been stripped, right?
I mean, you got to look at him, Deontay Wilder, and then Tyson Fury as having the best resumes. And I would put Tyson Fury third on that list. I think Wilder actually has a better resume than Tyson Fury. I think he's fought more named guys.
Okay.
But I think Wilder's fought more named guys. But again, Tyson Fury's a better fighter. Just is.
Well, this is the debate I have when I compare Tyson Fury's resume to Joshua's resume. I've always said this, and this is just my take on it. I think Joshua has more solid names on his resume, but Tyson Fury has better wins. Like
sure.
Beating,
we're sure.
Beating
yeah, Wilder
beating,
time.
Beating,
yeah.
When he beat him, beating Wilder when he beat him.
Yeah.
Are better wins than any of Joshua's wins. But Joshua has more quantity, right? You could argue that in those two fights, Fury has more quality. But overall, I think I would say Joshua does have the best resume at heavyweight because he's been the most consistent.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree.
I agree with you.
Now let's talk about the big one. Let's talk about the big one here, Beeb. Beeb, now you are suspicious. I trust my guys. I trust my source at ESPN. I trust Mr. Coppinger. All right?
Dan Raphael is starting to come out and kind of say that this is going to happen too.
You know where he got his news from? Coppinger. Got his news from Coppinger, son. Let's tell them the news first.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford is very close. They're targeting November 19th. This was reported by Mike Coppinger of ESPN. Spence and Crawford have agreed to all material things, and now that's all that's left is to sign the contracts. Beeb, everything has been the money. That all material things means the money. Everything has been agreed upon. There you go.
Well, Dan Raphael came out and said the same thing, but here's the problem.
He got his news from Coppinger, though. You don't like to give Coppinger any credit. You don't like to give Coppinger any credit.
I don't like Coppinger.
But I'm just saying.
I don't dislike him as a person.
This sounds very heavy dislike.
I don't like how he does his job. Let's put it that way. But here's my problem with Dan Raphael. So he's not with ESPN anymore. He's kind of like trying to find his way now, right? So maybe he's starting to turn into the clickbaity ways like Coppinger now because he doesn't have that cushy job at ESPN anymore. He could be changing his ways now too. He may have jumped on the clickbait train too. Who knows? But for him to come out and say it, that gives me hope. So I'm gonna be optimistic. I'm gonna go along with you and be optimistic.
GGS says this fight should have happened years ago. I disagree. I disagree. Both guys are in their prime right now, man. Both guys.
It's still good. It's still
it's
relevant.
It's still good. It's still relevant. It's not like Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Mayweather,
it's not like Pacquiao and
Mayweather. I mean, history has shown us we never get these fights when we want them. We had to wait for fucking Holyfield Tyson. We had to wait for Tyson Lewis. We had to wait for Pacquiao Mayweather. We had to wait for Sugar Ray Leonard Marvin Hagler. We always have to wait for these fights.
Yeah.
We never get them when we want them. So.
No, but this one is fairly close. This is still in distance. You know what I mean? This isn't like anything crazy.
Yeah.
Tony Ayo says, does Steve Kim break news? No. I don't believe he does. Do you? Does he break news? I don't think he breaks news. I don't think he's juiced in like he used to be. Coppinger is the guy now because he's at ESPN. Even when Steve Kim was at ESPN, I don't really know that he broke that much news.
Oh, he never really did.
No.
Because he didn't lie like Coppinger.
Wow. Wow, that was messed up. Of all the things you said tonight, that was really messed up, man.
Can I ask you a question? Imagine if we ever got Coppinger on the show. How awkward
I'm going to
would
try to get Coppinger on the show. And you know what? I'm going to sell you out. I'm going to sell you out to Coppinger.
Mike, nice to have you on the show.
Nice to have you on the show.
I want to let you know that here's your biggest detractor in the history of boxing, Joe Habib. Right?
Yeah, you know, everybody says Coppinger sucks, blah, blah, blah. 90% of his stuff comes out. It comes out, man.
That's hilarious.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 210, you're live. San Antonio, I believe.
Hey, what's up, guys? Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys? Anthony.
Now, hey.
What's on your mind?
Not much, man. I just tuned in. I was just hearing what y'all were saying about the Crawford Spence fight, which hopefully deal with him. But I'm with that point you just said. I think it should have happened already. I don't think it's going to take one fight to know who the definitive winner is. It's such a close matchup. I think it's gonna need like three. But these guys are so old now. I mean, mid-30s. That's pretty old. I mean, this fight should have happened 4 years ago. You probably should have been on the third one by now, but the difference that
I have one foot in the grave. I'm 53, man. If 33 is old, what's 53? What, I got one foot in the grave?
So you got one foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peel.
Right. You made me feel. I mean, give me a complex here tonight, brother.
But to your point, and another, to your point, I know y'all said, you know, it never happens when we want them. The big difference here is that these guys aren't that level of star. In their minds and in some of their fans' minds, they are, but these guys aren't crossover stars. These guys want to get paid like crossover stars, but they don't move the needle like they do. I mean, Spence moves the needle because of Mikey. Let's be real. That was Mikey's crowd. And what really helped sell Spence is Cowboys. You know, it's a huge organization. He gets a huge push from Jerry Jones. I mean, just events just being put there are a spectacle within themselves, but that's what helps to sell the fight. And we know PBC papers, let's be real. But, yeah, these guys, like I tell people, like these guys aren't crossovers, so they should have fought already. It reminds me of Morales Barrera. You know, they were just with the diehards, the Mexicans, and they had a trilogy. You know, all these guys, when they were top rank in the 90s, when HBO was doing their thing, we had trilogies all the time in the 90s, man. That's when I grew up, and I love boxing. That's what got me hooked. And I see what's going on today, and these guys are like the overinflated egos and net worth. I mean, that's just my point. You know, I hope it happens. I hope it's good. I think Crawford's the fresher fire, even though he's older, because he has better habits. He stays in shape. He's dedicated. Spence ain't. So let's just hope. That's all I got to say. But I appreciate the show, man. I like y'all's show, man. It gets me through the night shift, you know. I usually try to save it.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
I thought I'd call
in. Glad to hear that, man.
Thank you so much,
brother. We appreciate it.
I just want to let y'all know, y'all are funny, man. I like the way y'all bust each other's chops, man. It's hilarious.
Hey, bully, man. He's a bully.
If anything, you bully me, you know.
I had a therapy session in because of this guy.
That's fair.
He's going once a week. Now I'm going twice a week. This guy destroys me every week. I can't take it.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for calling, Anthony. We appreciate it. 805, you're live.
What's up, Beeb and Eric?
Wake up, for Christ's sakes. You still on that freaking that freaking sleeping pill? Are you calling him? Jesus Christ.
Beeb,
sorry, Anthony. We went right to Anthony. Boom. Hi, I'm Anthony from San Antonio.
Beeb, quit being
what are you?
Salty.
You need this you need this introduction. Go ahead.
Beeb, quit being salty. I know you're still mad about being down 0-2 in trivia.
He was talking about that. He was talking about that before the show came on. He was like, did you really cheat with Nacho? And I'm like, no, he beat you fair and square. And he was like, no, I can't accept it.
Eric, he's so mad. He wants his third.
He wants his third shot.
Triple G, that's right.
He wants his third shot like Golovkin.
Right.
yeah, just real quick, guys, about the fight last night. I agree with you guys in the main event with Golovkin. He just looks like a guy who's 40 now. He got old. He had his openings last night. He couldn't really pull the trigger anymore. You could see it. And to a certain extent, he kind of fought the fight to a certain extent ultra cautious, because even when he did get opportunities and did land some shots on the inside, he got countered and he kind of backed off. And so I just feel like he kind of preserved himself from getting, knocked out. Like, if he really wanted to go for it, he could have. But I think he didn't want to get knocked out, so he avoided going on the inside.
Yep, I tweeted out last night, right around the fifth or sixth round, this is what survival mode looks like. And he was in complete survival mode.
Yeah.
I guess.
For sure.
I guess he was saying to himself, if I'm going to shoot my load, I got to shoot it later in the fight, because if I shoot it now,
Don't be crass. You can run out of gas. You don't have to use that.
Oh, enough with this PC culture. What are you going to cancel me now? Who are you, Don Lemon? Hell out of
Don Lemon.
Go ahead, Nacho.
that's kind of the feeling I got. Like, he just looked like he was trying to survive until the end of the fight, and then he could kind of save face and say, yeah, I went to 12. He didn't stop me. So, but to be honest, I really hope he doesn't continue, but the fact that he said he is going to continue, I'm not looking forward to that, to be honest. I really don't know who's out there that he could legitimately beat at this point. He's not the same guy anymore. You can see it. So I think he'd be easy pickings for certain guys in the division. So, I don't know. I'm just curious to see what they do with him. With Bam, like I told you guys, I think he looked flat last night. He might be a little bit overworked, and he might need, some time off, because this is his third fight this year, and probably all these back-to-back camps have kind of gotten to him a little bit. Credit to Gonzalez, though. Like you guys said, he fought a tough fight, but Bam looked a little flat last night. I think if Bam had been sharp, I think he might have been able to take this guy out. But the fact that he ended up having to go the distance just kind of shows how it affected Bam a little bit. But, he did enough to win the fight, and sometimes that's all you need. You just win and move on. So I'm still curious to see if he gets the winner of Estrada and Chocolatito when they fight later this year, and then he gets the winner maybe next year or something. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. With Akhmedov and Rosado, same thing with Rosado. Rosado just, I hate to say it, but he's starting to become a punching bag at this point. He's a guy who's been in the game way too long. And there was plenty of times where he had chances to really go after Akhmedov, and he didn't. He just could not throw the shot. He was seeing the openings. He just wasn't able to let his hands go. And I thought Akhmedov won that fight pretty easily. But I would expect more from Akhmedov, considering how much they're hyping him up. I thought he would have probably put in a better performance, but he just kind of coasted. So, it is what it is. And then lastly, I know Eric brought it up. I agree with you, Eric. I don't want to see Canelo fight John Ryder, but at this point, as much as everyone wants to see a Benavidez fight, or maybe even a Charlo, I'm just wondering if the PBC can even come up with enough money to satisfy his demands to fight either one of those guys, because it just seems like...
Oh, I'm sure they can. Absolutely.
I'd be curious to see.
He's a good investment. They can get the return on the investment with him.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because Fox will take that and run with it. Can you imagine Fox promoting Canelo?
Yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt they come up with that, in my opinion.
Yeah, no question. No question.
Cool.
All right, guys. That's my call.
All right, Nacho. All right, man. Thanks for calling in.
Nacho, see you later, man. Take care, brother.
315, I believe this is Syracuse. 315, you're live.
Hey, Joe, Eric, can you hear me?
Yes, who are we speaking with?
My name is Simeon. I'm actually from Tacoma.
Simeon.
Washington.
Okay. Oh, Tacoma what? Perfect. Okay. What's on your mind, Simeon?
Yeah, it's a 315 from New York number, but currently in Tacoma, right? So
that's okay.
I do believe, and I agree with you guys or someone else saying, it's a beast with a forehead. I'm talking about a heavyweight right now, Joshua Fury. You know, really, Joshua Fury, Wilder, and what's his name, the current unified champion, Usyk. I think that if they could pull this off, Usyk fighting Wilder, Fury fighting Joshua when they don't have to, it sets a precedence right there, you know. And I think that will set the tone. I hope that will set the tone to, you know, featherweight, whatever division, you know, let them see the fight, the best fight, the fight. Best, that's what we're trying to look for, right? The best fighters fight the best fighters. So if this happens, I think that's the best thing for boxing. As you know already, that boxing goes by the heavyweight. You know, it is out of order. I agree. It is out of order, you know, because for Joshua to fight Fury is an opportunity. For Wilder to fight Usyk is a rare opportunity as well, you know. And in heavyweight, many things could happen. What if Wilder beats Usyk? What if Joshua beats Fury? You know, so I feel like that's the right way to go. That's the correct direction to go. And then I fully support that. I don't have any comment on what's going on with Terrence and Errol. You know, whatever it is, it is. You know, whatever we see, we see. Same way, I don't have comment on what's going on with Canelo. Canelo runs boxing his own way. He runs his own boxing. I'm not going to gig him for that. If I was Canelo, I would do whatever it is to my advantage. So I do not necessarily agree with people that say that Canelo should fight Benavidez, because if Canelo doesn't think that fighting Benavidez is the right way, the right direction for him, you know, it's against boxing rules. It's against the fans' rule. But at the end of the day, you and I were just fans. That's all I got to say, Eric and Joe.
Eric and Joe.
I actually did message Joe on Instagram saying I love what he does. If I had your Instagram, Eric, I would have said the same thing. So I'm saying it right now.
Bieber, you on Instagram?
Good job. Oh, yeah.
I got my PR people got me on every
person
right now.
Because somebody asked us in there, are we on Instagram? I'm like, I'm not on Instagram. I'm trying to, I'm trying to put together a TikTok, Instagram.
People.
What do you got, five people following you? Yeah, what do you got, five people following you over there? Simeon, thanks so much for the call, man. We appreciate it. I'll get an Instagram soon, I promise.
I got like 500. It's kind of laughable how many followers I have. What can I say?
Well, hey, you got 500 more than I do on Instagram. D-Style 915, you're live.
What's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we got you.
Okay, cool. I didn't know there was a delay there, but hey, I just wanted to call. And, you know, everything I suspected about Golovkin, I was right about, to be honest. He didn't look good. He looked a lot slower. His strangely enough, his jab, it took him like 5-6 rounds to get his jab going. But I underestimated the old man's chin because he could still take a shot. And I honestly thought he was going to get knocked out, but he wasn't knocked out. All right, so he crawled a little bit, right, a little bit. But I will say this, though. This whole Benavidez thing, I want to address this Benavidez thing. I honestly believe that what irritates Canelo about the Benavidez situation is that people are making it seem like Benavidez has been in a position to fight him for the last 2 years, and he hasn't. Benavidez did not make weight. He lost his belt on the scales, and people wanted to reward him with a Canelo fight on his next fight or right after he missed weight. Right, and we need to stay consistent in the sport of boxing. If we're going to get on fighters because they use diuretics to make weight, well, we also got to, you know, get on fighters that don't even bother making weight. Because at the end of the day, whether you're using a diuretic to make the weight or whether you're, you know, not even making weight, you still have essentially an advantage over your opponent. Your opponent had to kill himself to make weight, and you didn't. Okay, one way or the other. To me, it's almost equally as bad. So my point is, Benavidez couldn't just be rewarded with a Canelo fight right after that. Plus, he lost his belt on the scale. He himself said he had to work his way back up. And now he is in position to get a Canelo fight. But I just think it's a little overstated how that's the fight to make, in my opinion. When, in my opinion, the fight to make is a Bivol rematch. If that fight is available, and Bivol will beat Zurdo. I will say that.
All right. You can argue the Bivol fight's a tougher fight. I mean, you can argue both of them are tough, but some people will say that Bivol fight's tougher than the Benavidez fight.
I think the Bivol fight's tougher than the Benavidez fight. I mean, Bivol's heavier. He's more skilled. I think he's more skilled than Benavidez.
Well, if he ends up fighting John Ryder next, I'll watch it.
Don't say that.
I'll watch it, but I won't. I'll be a little disappointed in it.
A little. I was a little disappointed in this fight.
I'm not for that fight.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see John Ryder again.
That's not a fight anybody wants. Of course,
we'll see.
I'll take the Benavidez fight, but he's got options.
Yeah.
All right, Style, thank you so much, man. We're going to get running here. He's got a bad connection, but we got most of them, though. I think we got most of them.
Yeah, I got most of them.
But I got the gist of what he was saying, though. And he's right, though. But, you know, he makes
a
really good point about, like, you know, everybody wants to fight Benavidez. Like, Benavidez has been waiting for years for this fight, and he hasn't. And he's right.
No,
Benavidez hasn't put himself in the position for this fight. That's a great point.
I think... Right now, it's the fight to make, but I agree with him. It's not like this fight was out. Like, every time Canelo doesn't fight someone when people want him to fight them, automatically they say he's ducking that person.
Which is crazy. You can accuse him of a lot of things
and
not duck.
That I cannot co-sign on. I don't think that, you know, he's even questioned Canelo's desire to fight top competition. I don't agree with that.
No, I don't either. Incidentally, somebody asked who was the favorite of Crawford Spence. Terrence Crawford has already opened up as a -130 favorite over Errol Spence. So a small favorite, but still a favorite. Very small. And, Beeb, I know you're heartbroken about this next piece. Triller is out of the boxing business. Triller has said they don't plan to... put on any more fights in the near future. So they are outing. There you go.
Won't be missing them.
No. 773, you're live.
Hey, guys, it's Dale.
Dale, what's up?
Dale, what's happening, brother?
Not much, not much, Big.
Hola.
Just enjoying some beautiful weather. I just want to call in that. In a little while, but you know, I've been in the chat, what have you. But agree on a lot of the points as far as the big fight last night. She definitely looked slower. I gave him the first round because he was working that jab pretty good. keeping Canelo at the end of that stick, but I gave him a 6. I thought Canelo maybe took off a little bit, and G did some good work, and I gave Triple G the 9th. That's it. Could have maybe given him a 12th, and then I'd be 116, 112, but I was 117, 111. 115, 113, way too tight. You gotta be trying to give Golovkin rounds, you know, to get that score. But in any case, I'm glad I didn't pay for it. I went to a bar. kind of a funny story. I was actually at Riot Fest, which is this concert fest here. I got last minute, like, free tickets, backstage passes for this one. That was fun. Dropped my buddy off. There was a bar that I knew was showing it near his house. I drove there. Literally, I checked Twitter to see, you know, what's going on with the fight. People are bitching about the national anthem, which actually helped me out because I would have missed it if not for the 20 anthems. So I roll up to this bar, and the first round is about to start. I make it just in time. And kind of, I'm telling this too, there's a point like, boxing's a niche here in the States, but and a town like Chicago here too, but you got a big event like this, people come. This place was at capacity. They turned me away. I go, hey, I'm alone. I came here alone. I'm not even with anybody. He's like, sorry, we're at capacity. You can watch outside. And there was a bunch of us outside on the sidewalk looking in through the windows. So luckily I watched it without the commentary. It's actually good. And so we were all just outside watching it through the window. And, you know, the waitress came out. We still got to order, you know, drinks and stuff out on the sidewalk. So it was kind of a fun atmosphere. But it was like, it was cool. It was like, wow, okay, the fact that there was this much demand for the fight. And this place wasn't charging cover either, which is great. I think more places should do that. But anyway, just kind of a fun story with that. There was, you know, I was with a bunch of people on the sidewalk looking through the window. So, but in any case.
Was it cold out?
No, it's beautiful. Right, this weekend's been awesome. It was like, right now it's like 86 and sunny here. Yeah, it's weird. It's like really nice right now. It's going to get cooler later this week. So last night it was like 75 degrees. It was beautiful. It's like perfect night.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was crazy. It wound up being a great night. You know, fight was, I was just, I, and I'm watching it and I'm going like, hey, this is, you know, is what this is. I thought, especially after Murata and everything, I thought G would bring a little more. But he just looked a little slower. Canelo, you know, like you said, after that first round, really adjusted his game plan. He looked sharper, quicker. And I was out there and I was like, you know, I'm kind of glad my buddy called me with these last-minute tickets and I didn't stay home and buy the fight, you know. but I probably, honestly, there was another bar by me I was going to go to anyway, because even though I have the zone, it's like, if I can go to some bar with no cover, I'll just do that, you know, watch it for free, but, you know, have a beer and some wings, you know. But,
right.
Anyway, just sort of a, yeah, with a, sort of a fun story there, but there's demand. These guys draw. I think that's sort of part of my point, too, and the point that one caller made about, you know, Crawford and Spence, as great as they are, and it's for boxing fans, that's like, dude, I mean, we've been waiting for that fight forever. General public, not as much. So, you know, unless you live in Houston or Omaha, you know, so, I don't know, for whatever that's worth. But I would love
go.
The trip.
All right, Dale, we're going
to PVC. You
gotta
go?
We're going to get moving, man. Yeah, all right, man.
Give me the Brian treatment.
Thanks for calling in. All right. Yeah, I know. Give you the Brian treatment. No, I don't think I treat anybody as bad as Brian, you know. That's pretty bad.
I'm going to call you Eric the Hook, the Lord Hook.
That's right, Hook. Oh, man. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And apparently Joe Habib is now on Instagram, so there you go. Go find him there. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.
Make sure you check out the roundtable on Ringside Reporter Live this Thursday, 8 p.m.